welcome to the Office Dev Show, the show all about Office 365 development. And with me today, I have Andrew Connell.
Hey, Sonia,
welcome.
How are you?
Thank you.
Thanks for being here.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
And Andrew's going to tell us all about the Angular directives that he's built for the Office UI Fabric.
I can't say I've built them. We have a whole team that's been working on it. But
Awesome. So
when the Office UI Fabric came out, the first thing we saw was a lot of Angular developers said, can I get directives for these?
Yep.
The idea behind a directive is, well, if you look at the Office UI Fabric, which I know your show's covered before, you have a bunch of CSS classes that you can apply to different elements. And if you structure it the right way, then it comes out looking beautiful. But you have to know exactly how that whole thing is set up. And one of the things we can do with directives is it allows us to build like a reusable component for use in an Angular app that can take away the need for the developer to know what CSS classes to use, how to lay things out. And you kind of, we have the ability to have custom elements that let you really express what these things are. So like for a list item, we just say, it's a list item. We worry about how to render it out to make it work with the UI Fabric. That's just makes it a lot simpler. So we saw a need for that.
Yep.
So we kicked off a project to start that, and a bunch of people from the community jumped on board and
have been
just going crazy over the last few months with it.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So we covered the what, we covered the why.
Yeah.
So how did you guys build it?
So everything is built up using, we use TypeScript for everything.
Okay.
So everything is built using TypeScript. Right now we're working on Angular 1 directives. So I know Angular 2 is a big topic, I'll talk about that at the end. But we're focusing on Angular 1 right now because that's where 90% of the development's being done.
Mm-hmm.
So everything, again, is being done using TypeScript. We have a whole continuous build process that's set up to make it really clean. I serve more as like the project manager or the organizer for the project and make sure that everybody that wants to contribute, that all of the grunt work is just out of their way. They don't have to worry about builds. They don't have to worry about automated testing. They don't have to worry about releases and all that stuff. I make sure that everything that comes into the project kind of meets a certain standard. And then kind of let it in. And we take submissions from everyone. So I definitely want to call out a lot of the people that have been instrumental in this. You see here, I've got a list of all the contributors here. And these are just people from all over the world that have shown the initiative. Some names are going to be familiar to, I'm sure, some people. I think I've only met two or three of the people that are on this list.
That's awesome.
But it's neat because everybody's just kind of jumped in to do it. But we host the project up in GitHub. Everything is written in TypeScript, and it all compiles down to JavaScript. So anybody that wants to use it, it's super easy. It's just referencing a JavaScript file and then also referencing the UI Fabric CSS files, and you're off to the races.
Okay. And those are the only dependencies?
The only dependencies that we take, we have two dependencies that we take, and then there's an asterisk for one control. We have a dependency on the latest version of the Office UI Fabric, so I believe today that's 2.1.0. And it's the reason we take the latest one and not a little bit farther back is we've actually found some bugs in the fabric that we've contributed back some fixes for and some things that have been a little strange. We worked with the team to make things a little bit better. And so when we found stuff, it's an issue inside of our library. When they fix it in a new release, we just take a dependency on that. So that's one dependency. The other dependency we have is Angular. So we do Angular 1.4.9 today.
Mm-hmm.
It works with 1.5 as well. We tested on that, but 1.4 to 1.5 can be a bit of a jump for people.
Mm-hmm.
So we stay on 1.4 branch right now. Those are the only two dependencies we take. We don't take a dependency on jQuery.
Yep.
We don't take a dependency on any of the other libraries that are out there. Some of the controls do have some animation related to it. And so for the animation, we leverage the Angular animation library. So we do take a dependency. I think that the command bar and nav bar, we'll look at those. Those take a dependency.
Yeah.
And then there's one that the Office UI Fabric guys, we have to take another dependency on this one called Pick a Date. So in the Office UI Fabric, everything is just CSS.
Mm-hmm.
They also provide some JavaScript in the form of jQuery plugins to add functionality to some of the controls.
Sure.
So like you click on the dropdown, it opens up. What we've done for all of our directives is we wrote just vanilla JavaScript. So we have no jQuery dependencies if you don't want to do it.
Right.
So we've not taken the JavaScript that the Fabric guys did. We wrote our own. The challenge, though, is that with the pick-a-date control, they have taken a library called pick-a-date, which is a jQuery plugin, and then they've added their CSS and their controls to that one. So unless we completely rebuilt the entire thing, we would have to take a dependency on them. So for pick-a-date, it has a dependency on jQuery. So we take a dependency on jQuery for that one, and we take a dependency on the pick-a-date library as well. So that's the only exception. The demos explain that, though, and make it really easy to take care of that. So the goal is that we have minimal dependencies on just the two things you need, Fabric and Angular.
Yep.
So it's really the head part of your page in a demo is add a reference to the job to Angular, add a reference to Office. The CSS for UI Fabric, and then add a reference to our JavaScript, and you're done.
And you're good to go.
Yeah, that's it. Make it as easy as possible.
Very cool.
Yeah. So I can show you how some of this stuff works, too, if you like. All right. So really quick, too, just to just kick it off here. If you go to the NG Office UI Fabric site, it's a really simple demo site now. It looks really ugly because I'm the designer for the site, right? So this is going to get a lot better. It's a really simple site, but it's really the place you can go to get everything for it. So you can see where we have get to the GitHub libraries on it. We also have a Slack channel. You can go in to ask questions about how things work and stuff. We click through to see the live demos. You can see a list of all of our controls that we have here. And so the way it's set up is that if you think about with the Office UI Fabric, there's really, to me, there's like two different categories in the Office UI Fabric. Mm-hmm. There's what they call styles, which is fonts, colors, icons, stuff like that. And then there are components. And their components are things like drop-down list, persona card, those kinds of things. What we've done is we build directives for the components. We don't. We're not doing a bunch of stuff with the styles. Yeah, because the styles really is supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to be transparent to you. We do have some, like the very first one we did, which is mine, is the icon. And so the icon is not a control that you have inside the Office UI Fabric, but what you do have, and I'll just make this a little bit bigger to make it easy, is that you can just add in this control or this this markup right here. So UIF is our prefix that we use for our stuff, for UI Fabric. So UIF icon, and then we pass in the type. So in this case, we pass in drop down left. You see here it renders out this guy. We can do other things to it as well. Like if you just change the style to it and say you want to make it red, then you can see you're going to get a red icon here. And this here, we're just showing, I can see a bunch of different options here, choosing between, you can see the icons changing down here. Some of them too, we actually have some stuff set up for certain controls that expect a finite number of options. So like for example, with the icon, there's a finite number of icons that are supported in the UI Fabric. So one of the things that we did, if I pop this up here, you can see that I'm actually getting an error here that's saying it's coming from our components icon, and it says the icon that you're passing in is not supported. We actually, in this case here, we're passing in a UIF type equals NG Office UI Fabric. As much as we like our library, the Fabric guys, they haven't built an icon for us yet. So maybe we can get that, but for now, that's an error, right?
Okay, got it.
So we just have that spit out here, and these errors are going to get even more interesting too, but you can see that we're even passing in a URL to a TypeScript enumeration. So if you want to see what icons are available to you,
it's right there.
You can click through and you can see here's a list of all the icons. And with
it's
each,
just a very small list.
Oh, it's a very small list. But the neat thing too is that because it's a TypeScript enumeration, developers can use that if they're working with TypeScript or if they're just doing it with JavaScript and like Visual Studio Code that can mix and match the support. You can get good checking to see, am I using something that's valid? Or did I use a lowercase, in this case, like for line 72, if I did check people with a lowercase p, that's not going to work. But this way, it actually is going to go through and do that kind of validation for us.
And it's nice that it's right there in the error, so you don't have to go hunt and peck for where the enum is.
Yeah, and we have a bunch of, we actually have a developer guidelines that has a, you should do this, you will not do this, these kinds of things in the directives. And so for that case, we even had a pull release come in, I think last week, where someone gave us a list of options, and but there was no, they had no enumeration into it, and they had no error checking inside the directive to spit that error out.
That's helpful.
We're like, sorry, it's not going to get merged yet. Here's a here's how you can go through to fix it.
Yep.
So you get things like icon. You get some of the more interesting ones, too. I'll zoom that back out a little bit. Again, I'm not a designer. But things like here, we have the persona card. Mm-hmm. So this is a brand new one. We actually did a release today. This is 0.7. But you can see here, here's what all the markup looks for. Now, it looks a little scary. There's a lot of markup there. But if you think about it, there's things that we can have like, the style of it is round, right? So what is that? That's going to give us a round picture here. But if you change that, the style of the thing to, let's get rid of these guys for a second. If you change it to, let's say, square, then you can see it changes over to square. And I can change the presence of the user. You can see actually down here that actually changed the text. We can also change to say this person is blocked or they are available now. So I'll switch their status to available, and they're getting a little green tag right there. You have all these other little action sections right here as well. So this is one that actually just got in, well, the morning that we're recording this. The developer will be really happy to see that. That was sitting there for a while. He worked really hard on that one.
That one's awesome.
Yeah. So there's, I mean, tons of different ones that are out here. We've got things like the command bar. So here's a command bar. We've, you see, we even our tests, we even our demos, we show, hey, here's the extreme case. Nice little functionality there. You can click on the search box and it actually filters it out. And just to kind of hammer home too, to show like, you know, what we're looking at here in terms of what stuff you have to add to your page to get this to work. You can see here that
two script references.
Yeah, and so these two, don't worry about these because we're actually using Azure's App Insights to track what people are interested in, what demos they're interested in on this site. But then you see we have our two references to the CSS fabric for the CSS for the Office UI fabric. We have the Angular library that we're currently using. In this case, this is 1.4.9. Then we have the compiled version of our library.
Yep.
And then in this case here, this demo has a an Angular controller. And so we've built a controller here that actually ties into it. That's an index.js, and they can see that. The neat thing is all these demos are up on a demo site that we have, and anybody can go take a look at how these demos are set up. On our site, if you just go to github.com/ng-office-ui-fabric, you'll see our organization that we have listed here. So this is the main library, the ng-office-ui-fabric for everything. These other ones that we have, this is the one for the site we were just looking at here. Yeah. So we're using GitHub's pages. Like, when we push an update here, it's live up on the site right away. Which is good because I had to do that about 30 minutes ago before we recorded this. And then these other two right here, these are two that no one's going to have to ever work with, but those are the ways that we do our distributions. I can explain to you how we do that.
I was going to say, let's jump to the cool stuff of how you actually get this out the door and build and get everybody's stuff integrated.
Yeah, this is really cool. We set it up. Actually, let me say one more thing about the demos real quick. So if you go to the repo here for the ng-office UI fabric, everything is really going to be listed in here inside this source folder. And so we have a core and a components. At the moment, some people who have worked with controls or libraries like this, they know that a lot of people ship them as like everything all at once. And so even if I just want to add the text box, I've got to get the whole library for the drop-down library as well. Today, we have to do that too. However, we do have it set up where in this core, we have this components piece here where when you add in, for those of you who are familiar with Angular, when you add in a reference to the module, OfficeUIFabric.components, you see we're loading all of our other modules. But the way that these are built, they're all set up to where in the future you could do individual bundles.
Modularize, yeah.
Yeah, and so we did it this way because that's how the fabric guys did it as well. They were all one big bang until the last few weeks where they just said, oh, now we can do bundles and so we can have individual pieces. So we'll look at modifying our dev process as well to say, you know, we can give you the same references to the right fabric stuff, and we can build our own. But if anybody wants to see how the demos are all set up, the organization of the project is really clear and really easy to get into. If you just go into the components folder, like let's say, for example, I look at the icon. In the icon, we've got our directive right here. There's the TypeScript for that. Everything is fully tested, so I think we are like at 98% code coverage. So everything is nice and tested. Really easy to see what the intent of how things are supposed to work by looking at those. And then you'll see one or more demo folders. The demo folders you have here, this one, is going to give us the file that we were just looking at. So this index.html, it gave us all the same references minus the Azure App Insights stuff, that stuff that we add just to the demo site. But then here's everything else of how we got that to work, including the JavaScript page that we have here, the JavaScript file that we have for building a controller to actually see this guy work.
Got it.
Right? So it's really easy to go in and take a look at the demos. The demos, we have a whole process that we're going to add about dynamically building the demos and hopefully having things showing up as code pins so people could easily see them working, fork it, make their own tweaks to it to see how they could use it in their own project. All that stuff is coming.
Yeah.
We're getting really close to a 1.0 release, which means it's coming a lot sooner than I was hoping it would come. Kind of double-edged sword, right? I want it to get full parity with Angular 1 as fast as we can, but that also means we have to have our fit and finish done too.
Totally.
So.
And you're planning on making it work for Angular 2 in the future as well?
Yeah, we actually are. Right now we're focusing on Angular 1 because that's where the majority of the dev is being done.
Absolutely.
But we have full intention to go with Angular 2. Now, one of the things that we're doing with this is that our project, there's another UI library that Google uses, the Material Design.
Yep.
And Material Design is different from Fabric in the sense that it's just a definition of stuff, and then you have to do your own implementations to it.
Got it.
So people have seen things like Polymer, and then Angular Material is an implementation of Material Design. Fabric is real; it takes it one step further, where Fabric has kind of gone and said, we're just going to give you the CSS to implement the design language that we've already implemented, so don't worry about all that other stuff. the material design guys, they have a lot more work that they have to do with Angular. Yep. Well, what we've done is we've modeled our project off the work that they've done to make the process a lot easier for someone to switch between the two, because it makes sense to use material design in certain environments. It makes sense to use this in certain environments. So we wanted to make it really easy for people to jump between the two and not have to reinvent the wheel. The reason I'm explaining all this is that because the material design guys are just now starting to get do a lot of work on doing Angular 2-based material design. And we're going to follow their lead because there's a couple challenges that they've run into. And they actually made some changes to Angular 2 to make it easier for the material design guys to implement their stuff. We're going to benefit from that as well. So we're letting them kind of lead the way, and we're just standing on their shoulders, and then we'll just go through and we'll take our stuff. No dependency, it's just, how did you guys do it? Now we'll do the same thing. We just want to let you pave the way.
Got it.
But, I mean, you asked a minute ago about like the build process and stuff.
Yeah, definitely.
So this is really cool. If you're interested in a, how does an open source project and continuous integration and continuous deployment, how does all this stuff work, or how would you set that up? I'm very proud of what we've set up. So,
along with all the community contributions, right? It's not just the one person working on it.
No, so it's not.
There's a ton of stuff to tie in.
It is. There's a ton of stuff. And we've got 187 commits. The majority of those are coming from everyone else. My name is tagged with a lot of them because the way that we do those is that I kind of clean things up. So you can see here, even the most recent one with the org chart that got added, you see my name or my picture down off and committed with Andrew Connell. That's because the way we have our commit log is really clean. I blogged about this recently, but it makes it really easy to look at the history and see really quick what happened here. We can see that, you know, right here, a directive got added. We can see that another directive got added here. We can see that there was a fix for the call out and what the actual fix was. And if we dug into that one too, you could see all, it's really cool. You can see all the details about it. It closed this issue and this PR right here. So the way it's set up is that if anybody wants to make a change to it, they want to submit something. They fork the repo. They then make a branch off of their dev, off the main dev branch, and then they do their work. When they're finished with their work, they submit a pull request. So let's just look at one that happened, say that, we merged in just recently. So I'll take, we'll take this persona directive. So you can see here that, I think you pronounce his name Jersey. I have a hard time pronouncing his name, but he's one of our best contributors. What he does, he's gone through and he added some, added a bunch of, a new directive here. Says it closes issue number 31. We have an issue for every directive we have that's outstanding. And then we can see the code that got added. So what we did then is this kicked off a process, which actually is, we're not able to see it because it's already been closed. But I'll show you one of the other ones actually, that way it works. Let's try this one here.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So this piece right here, what's going on is that we're using a continuous integration process. Now, we have two of them listed here, but the Travis one is going to go away. We're going to move over to Circle. Essentially what this does is that whenever there's a commit or a pull request submitted, one of these services is going to reach in and they're going to do a pull of the code. They're going to do an install, an NPM install, so grab all the dependencies that are out there. And this is all clean every time. It's going to pull all that stuff in. And actually, I can show you what one of these builds looks like. This is really slick. So here it started the build. It's doing everything using Linux containers and stuff. But it comes in. Let's see, where is it? We are going to run an NPM install. That's going to install all the, the dependencies that we need. It's then going to go through and says, let me run a test. So it runs all of your tests. So here, this is Circle going through and running all of our unit tests that we have for all of our directives. And so I can see, like, if I look at one, like, say, here's the breadcrumb, we can see it says it should render the correct HTML, and it should render the HTML without an active link. So all of these tests are going to get run. They all have to pass. Once, if the, as long as they pass and there's no errors, we go on to the next step, which is, and it's not shown here, but we vet all the code. So it's all going to meet certain TypeScript requirements, break lines, spaces, naming, all that kind of stuff. Once the, all of these builds happen and all the stuff is green, then if I go back to where we were over here, once that's done, we'll then take the PR, I pull it down, I merge it in, test it again, make sure everything's good, make sure the demo works, and then we put it on top of dev, on top of the dev branch, and then we take dev and we push him
push up,
right? What that ends up doing then, we can see a list of all the stuff that's changed. We have a change log that we list each piece out. So the change log, you can see what got added. The next TBD, we don't have anything that's actually pending release right now because I released everything this morning, got up a little early. But you can see here what actually got referenced. So features that got added, fixes that were done. If we have any breaking changes, we list those out. And to make it easy on people, when you look at things that show up with like breaking changes, So if I click on this and I find the PR that this was associated with, which was right here, let's see, let's find the commit this is associated with. Wasn't that one. Where was the breaking change? Oh, I picked a bad one to do a breaking change. Let's see, let me try another one really quick. That's a link one, link hero, here, drop down. This will be a big one. So what we did here is we will find the commit itself. And you can see a list. We actually list out, here's the breaking change. Change your code from what this was here to down to this. And you can see the difference there is, let's see, what is it, drop down? Oh, we changed the name from the name. UIF option to UIF drop down option. That's kind of make it more more consistent with our other directives. Yep. So we take all that stuff and we push it up. Now, the neat thing about it is that once everything's done with there on dev, we'd also move it over to master. One of the things that we have is that, and this is, I explained this in a lot more detail on my blog, but to give you the overview, we want to make this available to anybody, wherever packaging model that they use.
Okay.
That includes NuGet, that includes NPM, mm-hmm. that includes Bower, yep. that includes a CDN. So again, if you go to our homepage of our site, back up here, actually, if we go to our homepage of our repo here, we'll just do that because the dev site, the demo site is still going, or is still getting updated. We can see here we have a list of all the different places you can get it. So NPM, Bower, and NuGet. And that Bower one, we did a push. It just hasn't updated yet. There's a service that checks it every, I think, like every 3 or 4 hours. So that image will get updated. But what these are, we have different ways of getting these guys. Plus, we also have a CDN. Now, the way we do that is that we have two repos that we push to. So this package.ngOfficeUIFabric, mm-hmm. he's our distribution for NPM, Bower, and a CDN. So with NPM, whenever we do an update, we update this package bit. And this is all done with a script. We just run one script, and everything just kind of happens within about 3 or 4 minutes, which is great, especially when you're trying to get ready for doing a little talk here with you. So we update package ng Office UI mm-hmm. Fabric. We don't have to do anything with Bower, because Bower is always doing a live pull from the repo. And so when he sees a new version, someone does NPM or Bower install, it'll pull it down from the repo.
In real time, yeah.
NPM, that one actually gets published when we do our push to master. If it sees the version number in the package.json file, if that is greater than the version that of the latest tag that's out there, it says, hey, it's a new version. So it actually publishes that automatically over to the NPM registry.
Very cool.
CDNJS, we use CDNJS for all of our CDN stuff. That one does an automatic check. Every hour it checks to see, do you have a new tagged release? He says, oh, we do. And so he automatically pulls him in so that if you wanted to use CDN to actually reference our stuff, let's open that guy up. You can see you can do a search for ngOffice UI Fabric, and all of our old versions are listed here. So you can find all the versions. Yep. And this one, you can see it's already picked up the version that I updated this morning. So you just had to reference that CDN and you're good. The last one was NuGet. NuGet does things a little bit differently. So we have to create a NuGet package, mm-hmm. like a big zip file or open XML file, and then submit it to the registry.
Yep.
So that one, we have a separate repo that where we do that stuff. If we come back over here to NuGet, he's a little bit different. And so he's got this new spec file. We use a different CI service called AppVeyor. Mm-hmm. AppVeyor is a Windows-based CI instead of Linux-based. And that allows us to run the NuGet command line
process,
client. Yeah, so that lets us go through and build that guy up. So we do a push here. He sees that, grabs him, pushes him up.
Yep.
And it's neat because we even have a whole Slack team that people can go in and take a look at. And there's a code channel in our Slack team. I'd open it up, but I'm a little afraid to open up my Slack in front of everybody right now. It can be dangerous.
It can be.
So anyway, but it's neat because if someone just watches the code thing, they can see when releases happen, when pushes happen, when issues get checked off, when issues get closed, whatever. It's just a whole feed that just keeps coming in as a long stream there. So it's great because I love the release process. I literally run script and I just watch it tear through. And as long as everything keeps passing, everything is released to all four of our distributions within about 3 or 4 minutes. My time, it only takes about 15 seconds.
That's ridiculous. Cool.
It just makes it so much easier.
So, side question.
Yes.
Amazingly cool.
Mm-hmm.
How long did it take you to set it up?
The build process?
Yeah.
It's been an iterative process. So it's not been like, let's just do it really quick and get it done.
No, of course.
Runtime. I'd say the total time I took to get that whole like continuous deployment all the way through, surprisingly, it probably took me about 4 or 5 hours to set up.
Oh, that's not bad at all.
It was a lot of testing. I thought it was going to take a lot longer. I still don't have the confidence just yet to, when I do a push to master, it runs the script for me. That's coming hopefully later this week. But right now, I hit it, make sure everything looks good, and then I just do, it's a bash script, so I just do sh space release, yep. and it just says push. Oh, and the neat thing, too, is that we have a command line switch on it. People can see this, too, if they're curious about it. If you go to ng-office UI fabric, in our build folder, there's a scripts link, and in there, there's the release sh. Uh-huh. And it explains what's going on, and it's neat because there's this argument you pass in called git push dry run. If you don't specify, as you see here, I've listed git push dry run equals false, it defaults to true. What that means is anytime that there's a git push command in this script, it replaces it with adding on the dash dash dry run option. So you can run a release, but nothing gets pushed up to GitHub. It just shows you what it would have done. So I can see, does everything look good? And it's like, yep, everything's good. We're all good here. And it just tears through. I put on the false on the end of it. It goes, okay, we'll push them all up
to
GitHub.
Actually do it, yeah.
And that push is what triggers all those publications to go out in the different distributions. So I'm really looking forward to just letting Master do it, just go. But we're waiting. I'm going to wait to do that until we can move it over to Circle, because Circle gives us a little more stuff than Travis does.
Yeah, this is very cool.
Yeah, it's really nice. The team loves it too. It just makes it so much easier to do releases. Yeah.
Very, very cool stuff.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. It's been a lot of fun, and it's been really cool to see the community involvement, especially from, I think I've only met maybe three of the people that are involved in this project. It's been a lot of fun to see just people that I haven't met before coming into it.
Totally.
Yeah.
No, that's awesome. It's very cool stuff. So what next?
So we are, right now we're at 87% of our coverage. People can see how much farther we have to go here. You can use it today, right? There's nothing stopping you from using it today. The only thing that's holding you back is from saying it's completely feature complete with Office UI Fabric is the fact that we have four directives that are missing right now. I know that two or three of them are actually being worked on right now. Panel is actually being worked on. But you see, there's three of them here that are still listed as help wanted. We have specs already written up for these. So if you know how to build a directive, but you don't know what we're looking for, we've got all the specs listed here. We have a process where you do the spec. Everyone kind of agrees to it. We have a core team of devs that are running the project. We all look at it, say yes, we're all in agreement, and then the developer just says just go. And we don't tell you how to build it. We don't really care how you build it. Frankly, if there's performance things, we'll worry about those later. Let's just get these things built. So the next step is get these four done, and we can get from 87% to 100% feature complete and full parity with the Office UI Fabric. Of course, if they decide to add another component, then we have to add that to this one, but we'll get there. After that's done, we want a full-blown, really nice demo site, really good documentation out there as well. The docs are in the code right now, and if you look at the tests and the demos, a developer can figure it out, but it's not as easy as going and looking at the Bootstrap site right now. So we're going to clean that up. And then it's to go on to the Angular 2. I'm not going to call them directives because they don't have directives. We don't know what we're supposed to build yet. So we're looking at it. Components, I'm pretty sure we have to build components, but I'm not sure exactly like what stuff needs to be done. I'm waiting for the Angular material design guys to do their first alpha release, see what they did, and then we'll take a step back. So they're getting close. So they've got all their own design docs already out there, so we can see what they're getting ready to do. I just want to see the code.
Absolutely.
Let's rubber hits the road.
That's awesome.
Yes.
And then we'll do a follow-up when you guys get to 100%, hopefully.
That sounds good, yeah. So
awesome.
It's great. Anybody wants to jump in, take a look, submit an issue, go ahead and use them too. I mean, it's really, really easy to use. It's all on CDNs. So you have to install anything as well.
Very cool stuff.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for showing us this. This is awesome. And then we'll include all of the links and all of the pointers and everything else in the show notes afterwards.
Absolutely.
So go build stuff. Happy coding.
Absolutely. Thanks.